very fucking unprofessional.
Of a doubt, the talk of the town, what your town is talking about. I'm professional as fuck with your host Ruck, and this is Sports Show number 20 for the fam. Postponed, everything's kind of been on a bit of a delay. My apologies for that. Life starts life, and if y'all are on my socials, you see the post. All of a sudden, my son's Thursday game turned, excuse me, my son's Friday game turned into a Thursday game. Prior to that, my other son's game went from, you know, being out of town to being in town. All of a sudden, that comes on the schedule as well. So I'm just gonna stop, like, putting out certain dates and shit's gonna drop for the simple fact of I can't stand not making the deadline. Love to be efficient with my time as much as humanly possible, but hey. Although I have many jobs, the most important one is being a husband and father, so that's always going to hold precedent. Hopefully that's the same for y'all. But like the never though, we are here Friday, made it through another work week. Those of us working. Another instrumental put together by your guy Ruck, gonna start putting into pad and working on all of these and then get back to y'all with some finished products. Not all y'all though. Patreon subscribers, what up? Alright, I'm bullshitting enough. Let's get straight to the task at hand. Sorry to cut it off. Straight to business, though. At least you know what I mean? What should be business? I'm not trying to be all up in this guy's business, but when you continue to make these type of moves in the public, you're going to be under the scrutiny of the public as well. Told y'all months back prior, you know, I think it was the Yusef Nurkic, which was the straw that broke the camel's back as far as the league was concerned. Draymond Green was then suspended indefinitely. Following a string of just different incidents on the court this year and just in totality of his career, seems like, you know, that last move that was made from the league, discussions with him and Kerr, you know, reevaluations from the team, from him, from the league and just basketball in general. You thought that maybe Draymond was going to, you know, learn from his mistakes and get his game together. However, seems that is not the case. Let's talk about it. Months ago, like I said, following the Gobert incident, and again, you know, with the Yusef Nurkic incident, I told y'all about Draymond's selfishness and how no matter who he yells at, puts his hands on the most damaged, and who's ultimately getting slapped in the face more than anyone else, is his team, his coach, and most importantly, his star point guard, Steph Curry. What the feezy? Think about all the different strings of incidents this guy had. We've had long discussions, you know, and full deep dive on this guy's issues in the past. But since his return, you know, it looked like he had it dialed back for a minute, at least for a moment. Then, you know, bit by bit, slowly, then eventually back to normal frequency, he's gotten back into his natural ways. And I hate to say that, man, because this guy is a great player. You cannot take it away from him, but just the bonehead mistakes that you make towards the tail end of your career, as maybe you've taken a step back as far as your actual physical abilities are, tend to be the things that people are going to attach to you, and that's going to become a bigger part of your legacy maybe than the great things you've done. Whether it was the clothesline on Patty Mills, in which he got away with, somehow flew under the radar. It seems like, you know, they let him slide on that. That looked a little bit more serious than the league made of it. Looked at that and was like, okay, you got to think about what you're doing, right? Is this serving is this serving some type of good for Draymond, or is this just, you know, doing more harm than anything else? The reason why I say that is because last night, just minutes into the Orlando Magic game, last night at the time I'm taking these notes, this was now a couple of days ago, right? Less than 5 minutes, 4 minutes into this Orlando Magic game, who have been playing good ball as of late, to say the least, man. Draymond was ejected following two technical fouls in the first 4 minutes. What the feezy? I need y'all to think about that. That wasn't like one play that caused an ejection. This was in 4 minutes. You have done enough to irritate these coaches to leave them no choice but to eject you from a game. Let's talk about, you know, the reasoning behind it. Paolo Banchero, a guy who's been playing really good under the radar and doing great things for his Orlando Magic team, had apparently slipped on the court during the beginning of the game. A foul was given to Draymond, which was the first moment where Green, you know, started his displeasure, being visible and vocal towards the officials. Then on a separate play, a play in which a foul was actually assessed to Andrew Wiggins, Green then went to argue with officials again, made contact with the ref. This wasn't the type of contact that would, you know, lead to an ejection right away. It was just, okay, that was your first mistake. Bam, T. Then again, you can't separate yourself from the issue. You can't move on from whatever's going on. You got to let it snowball. Instantly, when things like this happen, not only do people on the staff of the Warriors get involved, try to create, you know, some space between Draymond and that ref, Steph Curry, who usually has absolutely no reason to be intertwined in any of this, is right there as well. You would think that when you have this type of moment going on in the mind of Draymond and you look over at a Steph who's obviously showing that this is something that needs to be, you know, neutralized and brought down, you need to dial it in, go to the fucking sidelines and let us handle it. That didn't work. A veteran like Chris Paul also right there in the picture. That doesn't work. So there it goes. Continues to berate the official, saying something on his walk off and away from the official that seemed to be the straw that broke that official's back. Now, like I said, under 4 minutes, given his second technical foul and ejected from the game. Let's talk about the Warriors now for a minute. Steph, in regards to his normal play, is in a very visible slump. Now, we know that we've become accustomed to, like, lights-out play from this guy. But he plays in a manner that eventually you got to just realize that that's not going to be available for him to do forever. This is a guy who makes his bread and butter off of hoisting up threes that everybody in the right mind would be trying to, you know, defend against. So in order for him to have an opportunity to have a slight, you know, glimmer of space, he's got to continue to be in motion throughout the entire game. We're talking about a guy who doesn't stop running. Brings the ball up court, passes the ball, runs, swings, touches each corner of the court on his respective offensive side in order to create space to get the ball and do whatever he can to help this struggling team. Talk about Klay, who's been moved on and off of the bench from week to week this season, in a season where it seems like Kerr is having to do his best coaching job just to keep these guys in contention. Different lineups, new faces trying to, you know, mingle with familiar faces, new veterans on the team, players in and out of the roster for multiple reasons. So you talk about Klay, a guy who wears his emotions on his sleeve. Goes from being not only a starter, but one of the biggest, you know, names in the sport, to being asked to take a role off of the bench. Does it. To his testament and to just the professionalism that he exudes, whether he liked it or not, did what was asked of him, sat on that bench for the time that he was there, allowed young Pods, Bozinski to come in and do what he does, add a little bit of energy to that starting lineup, and more importantly, give that second unit of the Warriors some more firepower to go along with a Chris Paul and usually a Kuminga who's left in. young Davis Jackson kid who's playing center and at a high level right now, I might add. Chris Paul, GP2, Kevon Looney have all dealt with injuries, missed some time. Talk about Andrew Wiggins, who's missed multiple games for personal reasons. And down to the final stretch of a season that's clearly been a difficult one, not only for Steph, for the entire team, for the coaching staff, and obviously for Draymond. You allow yourself to be another issue because you can't exercise discipline. As a professional athlete at whatever age you're at, with all the money that this organization has thrown in your direction, choosing you over multiple star players whenever you and that star player seem to have some type of issue as far as, you know, respect and not being able to play together. You've driven Kevin Durant out of town, which has done, you know, horrible things for his career as well, but, you know, he's at least still KD. You literally knocked Jordan Poole not only out, but out of the roster and then out of the eye of the NBA as far as anything positive is concerned. He's in Washington and fading into the background on that team. Immediately after this ejection, Steph not only looked disappointed, but just, you know, overcome with emotion. People were saying that it looked like he was crying. You could tell that this guy is fed up. You could tell that Steve Kerr is running out of ways to describe in a nice way that's PC for the media what's going on with his team. Look at Steph, whose hard work, effort, and legacy is being spat on right now by a teammate of his who just can't control himself. The Warriors are currently 10th in the West, literally clinging to the last spot of a playing scenario. Playing in the back-to-back with a red-hot Houston Rockets squad on a 10-game winning streak, just one game behind them, threatening to take that 10th and final spot in playoff contention. And you foul out 4 minutes into the game. And this comes after Wiggins was given a foul. Now you arguing Andrew Wiggins fouled to the point of ejection in games down the stretch that mean this much to your team. Now I want to play a couple clips here, this being the reaction post-game from not only Steph Curry, but head coach Steve Kerr.
What did you think of the Draymond ejection?
All I said is we need him. He knows that. We all know that. So whatever it takes to keep him on the floor, him be available, that's what's got to happen. Especially at this point in the year. So tough way to start the game, but I am extremely proud of every single person that stepped foot on the floor tonight and responded the way that they did, because back-to-back, you know, the team as physical as they are, we got contributions from everybody, and it was a beautiful team effort to respond the way that we did and get this win, because we went and took it. And that's a big sign for us, a sign of growth, to be able to respond that way.
The camera showed you pretty frustrated when he did get ejected. Are you just thinking at that time what you just said, essentially?
Yeah, we know how important the season is, or this part of the season is, and our ability to get into a rhythm and secure a playing opportunity and give ourselves a shot. You don't want to have self-inflicted wounds when it comes to that. And we all care. We all are passionate about it. You know, the game and our chances to have something to play for down the stretch. So you give everything you got to this game, and that's the emotion.
Too bad.
Now, before we even get into the Steve Kerr, I kind of want to point out some key words that this guy said. Self-inflicted wounds. He mentioned growth. The reporter had to ask another Draymond question to kind of bring him back in the topic of discussion, because the consummate professional that Curry is had him then go, you know, transitioning from that convo, in which he's probably run out of ways to say, you know, a PC response, to discussing it and, you know, giving praise and props to his teammates who gathered together and galvanized to put together a full team effort in order to get a win on the road And like he said, you know, games where he's needed, where everyone knows he's needed, where we're, you know, working really hard to gel to, what was the words he used? You know, I can't remember exactly what he said, but basically along the lines of, you know, like get it all together prior to the final stretch of the season to give themselves a shot to have something to play for down the stretch. Very, very telling. And it looked like my guy was cutting onions when responding to this. So just if y'all ain't seen the video, that's there. I'll post it later. Now, this is Kerr.
It was unfortunate. He deserved it. You know, he'll bounce back. I'm just proud of the guys for stepping up. Moses came off the bench, had a big game for us. Gee made a big three. You know, Gary was fantastic. So we had guys step up, and that's what it takes.
Particularly from Steph, to say this point on the emotions. I mean, from the moment Draymond got ejected, he's very emotional. The night, keeping the bench when after he hit that shot. Are there common, or like a thread through games where Steph shows this heightened amount of emotion that you've seen?
I don't know. That's a tough question for me to answer. I mean, Steph is the ultimate competitor. It wasn't his best night, but he showed who he is by hitting the dagger on a night when his shot wasn't going. So he was emotional because our team needed the win.
And that's it. Again, you know, when I ask these questions, not only does Curry have to do it, but Kerr as well has to divert the attention back to just the players that were there who stepped up. When someone who they've put this much faith in, who they've paid so much money to, stepped on another opportunity. When you know what you mean to the team, whether it's just, you know, what you do, the dirty work that doesn't, you know, pat the stat line, but makes a huge difference in the game, whether it's just directing the young guys, giving the young guys of insight to something that they didn't see so that they could correct that and use it not only in the future, but in that same very game. There's absolutely no way to deny, you know, what Draymond brings to the team when he's at his best. And what's crazy is when we say at his best, I'm not talking about physically. I'm not saying when he's 100%. This seems to be a guy who does more damage to the team because of his mental health than his physical health, even in this, you know, stage of his career. As it stands today, even if you hold on to the 10th spot in the West, you are in a win or go home situation with not only LeBron James, but AD, Austin Reeves, Hachimura. You know, there's a lot of guys over there who are going to play with a chip on their shoulder, knowing that if we just get into the playoffs, we can make a move, make a run. That's how everybody's feeling, right? Just give me a chance to get in. But when you come into this game and you talk about Curry being in the slump, maybe it's because this guy got a lot of shit on his mind, a lot of weight on his shoulders that in the past may have been alleviated partially by Clay, who does what he does on a nightly basis. And a Draymond, who he could count on to be another quarterback on the court. But when both of those things are absent, and you're looking around for a friendly face, and a lot of these guys are new, and you're in the process of having to build up and see the maturation of your young stars, this guy's got a whole lot of weight on his shoulders to be dealing with some Draymond shit. Do you think Steph has faith right now in Draymond as one of the leaders of this team? Do you think that the rest of the league is not taking notice of this? A LeBron James with an AD and the rest of his squad, D'Angelo Russell, letting them know, hey, if we get in this guy's head, bait him into some shit. Not only can we get him off of the court, but we could just, once again, drive all that stress onto the heart and some minds of the rest of the team. And hopefully they collapse before we even have to beat them. Today, Draymond spoke about this incident. That was today as of yesterday because these notes, I'm telling you, everything's a little bit delayed. And when he spoke on his podcast of all places, right, where there's no questioning, no line of questioning, you're just able to go get your shit off. And maybe this isn't the time for the potting. Maybe at this point in time, you need to be showing your teammates what you've learned, rather than using a moment like this to drive eyes and ears over to what you got going on in your content, which is very telling of what's going on. And this was Draymond's response or actual explanation of what happened.
I got ejected 4 minutes into the game. Just can't do it. Regardless of what was said, I'm not about to get into what was said because that's irrelevant. To Steph's point, I have to be on the floor. And whatever that means, you just have to do that. So I'm not overreacting to this because of everything that happened in the beginning of the season. I feel like since I've returned, everything's headed in the right direction and hit a little bump in the road, get over it and keep going. Just can't happen. I said what I said. I deserve to get kicked out at that point. And what I said, if I'm all the way honest with y'all, I kind of was trying to turn my body and angle and go to the bench. And I said what I said, like a little too soon before angling my body to the bench. But yeah, it just can't happen. We need to win games. So like I said, not going to overreact like, oh man, like stuff is never as good as it seems. It's never as bad as it seems. Like I know where I am. I understand what I'm doing moving forward. And in my position, just make sure that that's the exception and not the rule.
So you take to your podcast and drive eyes to your content to monetize off of another moment that you made that was detrimental to your team. And it's, hey, man, you know, it's never as good as it seems, never as bad as it looks. I know where I'm at. I know what I got to do. Hit a little bump in the road. Not a big deal. You're no longer the person who's able to be the barometer of what's a big deal or not. The fact that we have to even have these discussions as a team, if you're the Warriors, is a big fucking deal. When you have a leader or so-called leader and captain of the squad, one of that trio, you know, those three players that have just been the make or break of this organization. And not only do you make a mistake like that, that early in the game on a game that means so much because they all do at this point. But then you come on to your podcast and give that type of response. What the feezy? Talking to a guy who missed 35 games of an 82-game season coming into this Magic game, and you could damn near say 36, being that it was so early in the first, then go to your podcast and say that. This is the bottom line for the Warriors, that even if everything goes well, even if Draymond's, you know, mental issues wasn't even a part of the conversation, the rest of the regular season could still end with these Warriors missing even that 10th spot in the play-in tournament with a red-hot Rocket team on their heels. The Warriors' remaining schedule as follows has the Hornets and Spurs, both road games, the Mavericks at home, these Rockets we keep talking about in Houston, another road game against those Mavericks in Dallas, the Jazz come to the Chase Center, they play the Lakers in L.A., the Trailblazers in Portland, and then two home games against New Orleans and Utah. I don't see many gimme games in there with the exception of maybe a Portland. But even that game's on the road and you never really know. They're in serious danger of, you know, missing these playoffs regardless of whether head case Draymond Green's there or not. It's not the scary Warriors of the past that everybody's, you know, feared when they look at them on the schedule. Very apparent as far as, you know, the Rockets are concerned. One of their young players, Terry Eason, went to social media following another Rockets win and part of this winning streak, doing the whole Warriors come out and play. You know what I mean? That was his words post-game. And you got to be also careful if you're the Rockets poking the bear. You still got Steph over there. Has not been playing well lately. He's shooting, like, I believe, 37% from the three-point line. I'm watching the Warriors game just as much as I'm watching Kings games these days. And I'm seeing this guy get into a case in his mind where, you know, the first half is just facilitating. Might even have that little bit of a daylight where he would usually hoist up a three, and because of just the fact that it ain't been going down, he's looking for another person. Maybe, you know, he has somebody run out to close out, and now somebody's open. His mindset in the early portion of these games is looking for others. Today he turned it up in the second half, had to put the team on his shoulders in another win against the Hornets on the road. A damn near a home game for Curry. grew up there while his father Dale played for the Hornets. It's crazy. It's definite cause for concern over there in the Warriors organization. Not just the Warriors, my Sacramento Kings definitely have cause for concern as well. After a good win Monday over the 76ers, me and the fam went out there, watched that game, decisive win, all four quarters. Very shaky to begin, and the fact that Tyrese Maxey, I believe, had like 20 fucking 1 points in the first half, the majority of those in the first quarter. Keegan Murray started off hot, 17 points right out the gate. Monday, important to note, one moment of celebration before we get to the concern. Domantas Sabonis has been playing lights out all season, regardless of who's giving him credit for it or not. The league shades him as far as all-stars are concerned. All you can keep doing is going out there and proving your case and adding to your legacy, and that's exactly what Domantas has done. Talk about live there in person. I was able to watch this guy surpass the double-double consecutive streak held by Kevin Love, who had 53 consecutive. Domantas goes out that Monday and breaks that streak. Another double-double, his 54th in a row, most since the merger. New record holder, Domantas Sabonis. Couldn't ride that high for long, though, because that Tuesday hosted the very next day the Dallas Mavericks, who are playing great ball right now. Luka and Kyrie basically took turns destroying the Kings' defense. Luka, 26 first half points. Then it was a lights out second half for Kyrie. Heavy third quarter, really just drove the needle into the coffin. 132-96 loss for Sacramento at home. It's hard to get a gauge on this team right now. The play is up and down from week to week, day to day. Playing to the level of competition. Maybe we find a way to get a win that people say might be an upset against a championship contender team. And then just go and shit the bed against a team that shouldn't be able to lace up the same, you know, shoes and play on the same court as us. That's a cause for concern for sure. Then, more cause. Today confirmed, just as I thought, Kevin Huerter undergoing season-ending surgery on the dislocated shoulder. What the feezy? You know, he wasn't playing his best ball coming into this game that he got hurt on, or even this season in totality. But when you talk about the playoffs and you need, you know, depth on your bench and people who can come in and score and create a shot, it would definitely be missed. Trey Lyles hopefully will be able to return soon. He's also been out, another, big player. Go inside, get the boards for you, create his own shot, get hot, streaky three-point shooter as well. What has happened since Huerter's been gone is it's thrust Keon Ellis into his starting role, definitely making the most of his opportunity. Tonight, Sacramento gets a chance to get their look back. Again, hosting the Mavericks at home. Friday night, I know the building will be jumping. It's going to take a full team effort on both ends of the court to get a win, but I do expect, regardless of what happens, wins or loss, this game to be a little bit more competitive. It's got to be if you're the Kings, who are going into this playoffs trying to prove to other squads that you're a force to be reckoned with. You definitely don't want to back your way into the playoffs. Got a good amount of home games remaining on the schedule, which is going to give them an opportunity to play with a bit of an advantage. That's definitely in our favor. Me and the fam got three games left on our package, getting to the point to where it's, you know, wrapping up. Very upsetting. Had a great time going out to every one of these games with the family. Looking forward to doing the same next season. But it's really important now for these guys to gel and get into a streak when it matters the most. It's going to be important for the success of the Kings, not only throughout the rest of this regular season, but to make an actual push come playoff time. Elsewhere around the NBA, applause is definitely in order for Otto Porter Jr., champion with the Golden State Warriors, has announced his retirement after 11 seasons, cited the fact that his body's no longer allowed him to compete at the level he expects of himself. So after 11 years of great service on anywhere he went, a big contributor, vital part of that last championship with the Warriors where he was on the squad, definitely going to be missed. Congratulations for a great season, especially that championship season with the Dubs. Show some love to Otto Porter Jr. Can't go as far as to say good news for Chicago yet, but definitely going in the right direction. Chicago's Lonzo Ball has been medically cleared for advanced basketball activities. Really hope this guy's able to get back on the court, you know what I mean, help not only the Bulls, but just help himself mentally. Regardless of how he came into everybody's, you know, attention with his father being the extremely vocal and, you know, maybe elaborate character that he was. Once his kids got into the league, just as he said that they would, they definitely did what they had to do. Lonzo, maybe more so than LaMelo, but, you know, I would just like to see this guy get back on the court and contribute wherever he's at, whatever he's able to do. Speaking of LaMelo, Lonzo's brother has been ruled out for the remainder of the season. He's been battling the ankle issue, missed 29 consecutive games, and it's been announced that he will also be inactive for the remaining 2.5 weeks of this season. What the feezy? I don't know what's in the water over there at the Ball's house, but definitely difficult to see these guys deal with such injury issues and not being able to be out there for their teams. March Madness in full swing. A lot of people, big college basketball fans. I need to get more versed on the college game, not only in the basketball realm of things, but also in football. But, hey, this is that time of the year where basketball fans are going crazy. March Madness, big fucking deal. Billions of dollars being generated, spent, and made based around this time of the year in this sport. Men and women's college ball is definitely in the Sweet 16 stages, trying to get down to that Elite Eight. Some of the Elite Eight action will begin for the men's side of things this Saturday. I'm sure that the schedules aren't that far off. We should see some women's Elite Eight games as well. I know tomorrow some of the big names in the women's side of things are playing. Caitlin and her Iowa team play, I believe, at around 4 o'clock. While at 10 a.m. you will be able to see the LSU Lady Tigers in action. Shout out to Angel Reese and Flage. Definitely rooting for them. Became a fan just watching Flage and her ascension and anything that she does. But then team her up with Angel Reese, who's just making headway in her sport and leaving a lot of people as fans, and myself included. The same could be said about Caitlin Clark. Two young ladies who are driving a lot of eyes and attention to that sport. Got to definitely give them their props. And, you know, it's been said that some of these women's games are drawing in a lot more numbers than the men's are. Deservingly so. It's about time to get the respect that is deserved. Got a women's team coming to the Bay Area soon. WNBA expansion team will be coming to San Francisco. The Monarchs of Sacramento won a championship, I believe, in the past. It would be lovely to see them add another team to California as far as the WNBA is concerned. We shall see what happens, but shout-outs to all these young men and women competing in this March Madness tournament. Hope that the cream of the crop rises to the top and we see some great games in this Elite Eight and Final Four portion of the competition. Let's get into the NFL news, you know, coming few and far between, but as the draft looms over our heads, a lot of teams are deciding what they're going to do, where they're going to divert their attention to as far as the draft is concerned. Before we get to any of that, this Jets team that has been, you know, putting together a great roster on both sides of the ball just got their defensive arsenal a brand new weapon. It's been reported that Philly is trading Hassan Reddick, feared edge rusher, for a 2026 third-round pick. The Jets are definitely playing to win right now and not waiting. They know that Aaron Rodgers has a time limit as far as how long he's going to be at his top, you know, prime in you know, in contention to be who he's been known to be. Battling back from that injury that took him out early in last season. It's going to be at full strength coming back with weapons on both sides of the ball. Robert Saleh, who gets his guys to buy in, and just an impressive team. Definitely ready to make a playoff push next year. A team to look out for, to say the absolute least. Raiders. Get some Raider news. Definitely not hiding the fact that we are trying to move up in the draft, trade up to get ourselves one of these quarterback prospects. No disrespect to Aiden O'Connell, but we do need to have a competition this year in that quarterback room with a young star, someone who Pierce and Telesco were able to add to their era of this team, put their faith behind and see what, you know, what hand they drew. It's been kind of the concerted, you know, everybody's minds have kind of been made up around the Raiders organization, at least in the media's eyes and what's been leaking out. It's been seeming that Jaden Daniels was the guy they had their eye on. Seemed to be the target. But now news of him dealing with an injury in his throwing elbow is definitely cause for concern. May make the Raiders, you know, rethink their approach. Add some more attention onto some of the other guys in the draft, some of these other QB prospects, which seems to be the case. Another prospect, Michael Penix Jr., will also visit the Raiders prior to the draft. Although many believe that the Giants have their eye on that guy and have a higher draft pick, if they're going for a QB, they're not going to allow us to trade up at least to their position. So many of the minds are of the belief that Penix will be going to New York to be a member of the Giants squad. We shall see who still remains wherever the Raiders draft, whether they keep their pick or move up. It's going to be interesting to see the direction that this young, new era of the Las Vegas Raiders, you know, spends their money, time, and efforts. I'm not knowledgeable enough about the college game to make a decision. I do have faith that Pierce is going to have a say in the matter, along with new GM Telesco, who's brought some good pieces over to the Chargers. Whether they remain there or not, some of the names that he was a part of drafting are definitely players that you hear not only, you know, Sunday to Sunday, but especially in the red zone realm of things when you talk about fantasy football, which means that they're being productive in their respective positions. We'll see how it goes. Some pieces that have been re-signed for the Raiders that are set in stone, at least going to be part of that roster that, you know, competes to get into that 53 active man roster come opening week. Isaiah Pola'amo, I can't say these motherfuckers, and Kanai Mauga. Now, the fact that I can't pronounce them and they both sound like, you know, my Oos brothers, definitely, you know, all due respect, not trying to, you know, any foulness at all. This is definitely respect. Those are two last names that I would want on my defensive unit. All that I know from my personal experience with my Uso brothers and families in general is that they are loyal, dedicated to what it is that they have put their mind to, and hard workers and hitters, to say the absolute least. So if we could add two of these gentlemen who are already familiar with the Raiders organization, keep them around and build not only on them, but, you know, around them as well. It's going to be exciting to see next year. Can't make this shit up if I try, man. Former Raiders head coach is basically shit on the organization, not only leaving and going to the Bucks and beating us in the Super Bowl, but coming back, decimating the current roster, adding his pieces over while sending emails that we're going to get him removed from the league. You know what I'm talking about. John Gruden has been hired by Italian pro football team Milano Siemen.
What the feezy?
I gotta press it again. I just hope that John's able to get a mouthful. That's all I gotta say. Let's talk about the world of combat sports. UFC 300 looming over our heads. April 12th, I believe. 13th. Don't quote me on that. It's the Saturday. I think it's the 13th. Right smack dab in the middle of two of our games. We're going to be out there in SAC, not tripping. Rather have that family time and those memories than watch one of these fights. But everybody's saying this is one of those cards that you got to see. If it happens, it happens. If it don't, I ain't mad. What is going to be available for me to watch tomorrow, Amazon Prime, in conjunction with Premier Boxing Champions, will air four title fights on one card. Action kicks off Saturday, 5 p.m. Pacific, live from T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Undefeated Tim Su versus Sebastian Fundora in the main event. Co-main event, Rolly Romero defends his super lightweight title against Pitbull Cruz. Definitely want to watch that fight. You know, it's easy to sit on the sideline and make your opinions up about these guys, but when you talk about a professional prize fighter who has titles and is, you know, a well-known individual, no matter how you feel about him, you got to give respect. Rolly Romero may not be my favorite person to see speak, but he gets in the ring and he does his thing. Obviously, a title holder right now. I would definitely be rooting for Pitbull Cruz, but we'll see how it all, you know, shakes down tomorrow. Like I said, Amazon Prime, they're getting their hands into all these sports. We already know they got Thursday Night Football. There will be a wild card playoff game that's going to be exclusive on Prime next season, similar to what Peacock did this past season. On top of that, I know that Amazon will broadcast a game that's coming live from Brazil. A lot of crazy shit going on in this league. They got their hands in a whole lot of different piggy banks. Hopefully that transitions down to some of the players as well. We shall see. But Amazon joining with everybody else in this sports streaming, you know, contest to make sure that they're driving eyes over to their service. Definitely something to keep your eyes on. More in the world of boxing, combat sports. You know, when it gets to this portion of the year, it's the season for the heavy months of boxing matches that they've been talking about for some time, starting to heat up. We know we got Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney taking place April 20th. They're next up after this Sue and Fandora card. That one, there's been a lot of speculation on for multiple reasons, none more than the relation to somebody in the past. Ryan Garcia, I hope that you not only lose your title, I hope that Devin Haney whoops your ass so bad and allows De La Hoya and Bernard Hopkins to come aside, talk shit on you, and, you know, keep shit moving. My bad. I know I'm supposed to be with me here today, but this guy, I don't know. Not the novella for me. Fuck that. Not only that, but we got Canelo taking place in May. You know, anytime we're getting close to Cinco de Mayo, Canelo's going to have a fight. This year, no different. I do not know the guy he's fighting. These DAZN fighters, you know, they usually duck the major competition. Surprised to see Garcia going up against Haney, but, you know, DAZN and his promoters don't really fuck with him. That might be the reason. Sending them out to the wolves. Fury and Usyk will also take place in May. Definitely something to keep your eyes on. That's going to be a big card. There was supposed to be two heavyweight fights in that bout. For whatever reason, the cards have been split. It is what it is. I'm always here for a Fury fight. Usyk is no joke in his own right, so we'll see Fury get put to the test. And I believe it's in June that we have the Jake Paul Mike Tyson exhibition. This is going to be just I don't know. It's going to be love and hip-hop type shit, I'm sure. But must-see TV nonetheless. Boxing is in full swing. Definitely looking forward to this weekend's card, as well as everything else as the heat comes around, the seasons change. We transition from spring into summer. It's leading this out towards a lot of barbecues with the fights on and you know, inviting company over and having a good time. Hopefully that's what everybody's doing, man, as a whole. MLB season officially underway. Opening day was the other day. Now, talking about getting together and having a good time. A's fans.
What the feezy?
It's been a while now that they've been, you know, chanting sell the team. They've been, you know, very vocal about their displeasure with Fisher, who has done whatever he's done to move this team over to Las Vegas following the Raiders, who also left from Oakland. Fans are now in protest of this team. They're saying that they're meeting together and tailgating in the parking lot of the stadium, but not entering the game and patronizing as far as going into the building, resulting in a lot of games where, you know, the crowd is non-existent. However, I ask these fans, parking in the Oakland Coliseum parking lot costs way more than a ticket inside the game, so I guess, hey, stick it to them, whatever y'all think y'all doing, man. I'm all for it, though. I'm lying like a motherfucker. I really miss the Raiders tailgates. I've gone out there with the family recently as much as, you know, maybe a couple years ago. I guess that's not recent. Tailgating, it's always a great time. Good, positive energy out there, especially in the baseball games. If this is the last opportunity you're going to have to do it, then as much as I was just trying to clown, I understand wholeheartedly. Might even join y'all for a few of these things, you know what I mean? Shout-outs to the fans of Oakland who have had their hearts broken multiple times. still a resilient bunch, some of the most loyal to regardless of what you're talking about. The Warriors games ain't the same at Chase. The Raiders games ain't the same at Allegiant. And no matter what you build for this A's organization, the vibe in Vegas is going to be nothing like you've ever experienced in Oakland, whether y'all were doing great or less than. Just something to think about. But money talks, bullshit walks. We shall see how everything pans out. All I know is sports is in a good space right now. A lot of great things happening around all the leagues, all the major sports. Can't wait to see more of this March Madness go down. I told y'all, I can't watch from the beginning. I got to kind of hop in when shit gets down to the nitty gritty. Not trying to see these powerhouse teams go up against these no-names. I know that sometimes just some of those upsets, some of those had-to-see-it moments. But I'll wait for the best of the best to be in competition against each other. Hopefully, it's in a position right now where that Iowa women's team could meet LSU, a rematch of the championship game last year, in a Elite Eight situation. If that's the case, you can fully expect me to have some commentary on that. Gonna do my best to pay attention not only to college game in baseball, but in basketball, men's and women's, but also pay a little closer mind to the college football game as well. Looking forward to the draft, just seeing where we went right, where we went wrong, seeing how teams are adding to their rosters. Boxing, like I said, coming up. UFC always doing their thing. Hockey, if that's your shit, can't knock it. I've been to some Sharks games, had a good time. Definitely want to make sure that I remove the bias that I have. Definitely lean towards basketball and football at all times. Got to get more versed on these other sports. Shout out my brothers Rolly and Q out there in Arkansas, Little Rock to be exact. They said I got to have them, do a call in and speak about some hoops. Definitely going to make sure that we line that up soon. My brother AJ Miles, a guest on the Adding Elements portions of this pod, this podcast network, as I like to call it, as well as the brother Pete, not only on the regular pod, but my guy is well-versed in baseball, especially the Dodgers. Got to get his thoughts on how things have begun. I know Ohtani is a very big speaking piece, a betting scandal going on right now. A lot of shit to talk about, a lot of things in the future, but my Kings game is about to tip off. It's the Friday. Got to get some of this music working as well. Like that instrumental has been acquired, found the right one. Got a written verse almost all the way done. Y'all voted for a freestyle, so I guess I got to do both. Patreon, be on the lookout for that La Familia tier. Everybody else, much love to y'all. Let's get back to regularly scheduled programs, man. Made it through another sports show in the book, sports show number 20. As always, thank y'all for tapping in, tuning in, and staying loyal to the soil. Before I sign off, a little message to the gentlemen, man. Fellas, hopefully y'all had a smooth work week. If not, put yourself in position to fix that for the upcoming one. Not only this weekend, but maybe as a daily exercise, try to find some way to improve daily. Whether it's the way that we react to situations that come our way, on some Draymond shit, how we control our emotions. Everything does not deserve a reaction. Every word that's at the tip of our tongues does not need to be said. Stay even keel, keep your head. Do all that you can as a man for your fam than anything else. It's all gonna fall into place, baby. As always, can't wait to get right back to y'all, but in the meantime, find what makes you happy and return the favor. I'ma holler at y'all later. Go on.
Unprofessional as fuck podcast.